Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
The dawn of justice is upon us. You want top to bottom Batman v Superman? We got it for you right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
My side is right.
Ah! Head. It hurts.
Almost a year and a half ago when we started the DC movie news show, we knew eventually we would get the Trinity on the big screen for the first time ever. It finally happened. We made it to this date. And how polarizing is this film? We're about to talk about it right now. We see you in chat roll. Some of you love it. Some of you hate it. Some of you are just mad. Some of you are trolling. We're going to get right up in that ass right now on the DC movie news show.
Everybody, start telling everybody else to watch it live. I want everybody that's seen the movie to join us in live. I would love to get more live viewers than we've had. Roxy doesn't think we can
spoiler
do it because she thinks people
though.
Have not.
Spoiler filled. We've spoiler all seen filled. The film. We're talking about it. Let's
You're
get
helping me prove Roxy wrong. We just went from 58 to 222 with a quick refresh. Come on. We're going to have five. Going to get 500 in the room.
Spoilers are my favorite.
Let's do it. We are at DC Movies.
Oh, unless you
want to
talk about Daredevil.
Yeah, don't want to talk about Daredevil because she doesn't want spoilers.
At DC Movies SK, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Make sure you retweet us. We want as many people watching this as possible. If you're listening, thank you very much. I am at Jay Quasto on the Twitter. That man right there, you know him, you love him. He's wearing the False God t-shirt. He's the host of Man vs. Child on the FYI Network, as well as FX Movie Download on FX. Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler.
Hello, thank you. So great to be here. I can't believe that we made it this far, guys.
That's crazy.
And I can't wait to talk about this movie, man. I gotta tell you, what a ride it's been from Monday to Friday. Has been an emotional roller coaster.
And I love it that you guys saw it twice, because you have a very unique way of looking at it. We're gonna get right to it. First
yes,
off,
glad
this
I
man
did.
Right here, not only does he have 15 million different Batman cowls, he's an incredibly talented actor and at DC Encyclopedia, also the host of Character Corner right here on Popcorn Talk. Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. He's
welcome.
Mike Kalinowski.
I've been waiting for this, and I brought a special treat
what?
That I brought because it's a...
What?
I Because I, especially, you know it's me,
is
I'm
it
the show,
oh no, I
and
feel
I cannot,
like this is
brand new, just made for me.
Oh, wow!
Mikey Christmas, new leather jacket.
It's a squeaky leather jacket, everybody!
Brand Maybe not new. Squeaky, we don't know about
no,
this
it's not
one.
This one, I don't think it'll be squeaky.
It's like, this is like the equivalent of like a
Get
ratings grab when they altered a Kit on Knight Rider.
Yeah.
This you is know, like, they give him some new powers.
I gotta tell you, I'm a little disappointed, though, because after his introduction, I thought you were gonna pull out the bat suit.
That's coming.
It's real.
Settle down.
It's a real jacket.
This is more like Bruce Wayne sportswear. It's a real jacket. And that right there is the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show and the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies. You can find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer. That's because her name's Roxy Stryer.
Hi, guys. I can't believe we made it. I'm so happy. I just want to hug everybody.
Every sexy photo you've seen of Roxy Stryer online has been photoshopped.
I told everybody I bought that new app. False Roxy. It's called Facetune. I get rid of all my pores and shit, you know.
So Roxy, you're going to be...
I look prettier than I am.
Okay.
You're going to be one of those girls, you're going to become a meme where it's just like, this is false the reason you take a girl swimming on the first date. One of those things where it's all the makeup and it gets washed off and...
I think that was really mean.
When you say take a girl swimming on a first date,
you
is that a euphemism for...
You ever seen these memes that are hysterical?
Yeah, but
no.
I don't think I'm one of them.
You're just saying that you're completely changing the way you look through...
Let's get to BBS, bully.
No, he's trying to pay you a compliment. That's what he's trying to do.
He's
saying
Johnny.
You don't need to fix it.
I
you don't
think
need to
Roxy
fix...
looks gorgeous, you and what she's sitting there fixing, I don't like.
You don't need to tune your face.
Mm-hmm. Here's to swimming with bat-faced women.
All right, there we go. Let's get started, guys. So we're going to try to structure this as much as possible. We've all seen the movie. I saw it at midnight. You saw it just before midnight, so we had late evenings. You both saw it on Monday, and then you saw it again for the second time last night.
Yes.
So here's what we're going to do.
When did you see it the second time last night?
I saw it last night at 9:15 at the Grove.
And then he went out drinking.
Sure did. I had to discuss.
There you go.
I had to discuss, debate, And
so overall, let's do general thoughts, general
feelings.
Getting
into it, guys.
We're going to rate it at the end. We're going to do our own little rating system. Okay. But we want from you, though, let us know what item should we rate it out of? Like, something out of 10,
we're thinking, because, like, what does, like
could
box
it be
of
1 out of 10
popcorn?
Mother boxes, 1 out of 10
batarangs.
Kryptonite rings, batarangs. Mm. So come up with our, no?
No, or, no,
okay,
no.
Yeah.
Fans, some you guys.
Because
we've got all our movies now.
Justice
this is going to be our rating
so
system.
For every,
1 out of 10 USB ports that have the rest of the Justice League inside of them. No, that wasn't a good suggestion.
Something JL related. Anyway, let's start off.
Box is off to a start.
Adam Gertler, you go first.
What am I saying?
You saw it twice. What are your overall feelings?
Okay, I will say overall, general, my response, and I'll give you a good prelude here. First one, later night, 10 o'clock show, 3 years of anticipation going into it. Had a couple of cocktails before, feeling good. Saw the movie. I didn't know how I felt about it afterwards. I walked out and I was like, that wasn't fun. It was dark. Doesn't have to be dour or my initial thoughts. People on Twitter were trying to like ask me if I loved it or hated it. I didn't know. And then I thought like other movies like, you know, like Deadpool or Winter Soldier. Like I know I love them when I walk out of them. And then I thought, oh, is it too much to think like, oh, this is a more challenging movie that takes more. Like, no, it's a Superman movie. It shouldn't be challenging. And I don't know. It was big. It was close. I went and saw it again last night, had a couple days to digest it, after hearing that a lot of people kind of agreed with my initial thoughts. And I went again, didn't have any cocktails before, just had some Flaming Hot Cheetos, and went with my best buddy. They were laced with THC, by the way.
Good.
And then we went with my best buddy, Mike D. We sat much farther back in the IMAX, same theater, by the way, AMC Burbank 16. And the parts that I had problems with didn't bother me as much the second time. And the parts that I liked the first time, I loved this time. And I was thoroughly thoroughly entertained and engaged. And the audience was all cheering at the right moments, at big moments. I'm still mad that a lot of stuff was like stolen from experiencing it the first time through all the trailers and the advertising and stuff.
Yeah,
I really do think that was a stumble. Like, you could have advertised this movie without ever showing Doomsday, because one thing that people love is when Doomsday evolves, and we already saw a picture of the semi-evolved Doomsday early, so we were even cheated of that, and people were saying, oh, he'll evolve more, but like whatever, it was still a great moment. So yeah, and there was some stuff that I forgave, and there was just a lot more I was able to absorb the second time, and I realized that this is not a Batman that exists in a world where he is the most fantastical element. This is a Batman that exists in a world where, among gods, he's kind of the least fantastical. Like, he's the everyman, and it's different. This is the first time we've seen Bruce Wayne in a world with Superman and metahumans.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, I thought what I really liked this time, I'm like, this is really reminding me a lot of the Justice League animated show. It's like, it's that fantastical, but it's live. And
that's what a lot of people said a week ago when the first reviews were coming out.
I started noticing
like
mother boxes that I didn't see the first time, and
mother
then I and real references to Darkseid, and I'm like, wow, this is happening. And like, I know that's going to also drive people crazy that like have no idea about this world, but like, kudos to them for shooting for the moon and saying, nope, we're doing it. This might not be a thing where like six movies into the DCEU, you'll come back to Batman v Superman and be like, oh yeah, well that was the first of the glimpse of this and that. And with some of it, I mean, like, all I'm saying is I'm of two minds. I'm not trying to, you know, drink any Kool-Aid. I'm not a fanboy that wants to appreciate something that I don't love. I felt the first time it wasn't fun. The second time I had nothing but fun.
Okay.
Well said.
Rossi.
So I saw this movie last night. It was unfortunate that when I was at work, I realized I don't need to buy, or all throughout the week, I don't need to buy a ticket in advance to this movie. This movie is not sold out anywhere. There are seats
in LA,
available.
Because there's so many showings.
Yeah. I'm talking about, well, that's where I live. So I wasn't going to travel.
In Long Island,
Star
my parents
Wars
couldn't go tomorrow
either at the Grove when I went to see it opening night.
So
Star Wars is not sold out.
I looked online. There were tickets for days. So I was like, okay, whenever I get off work, I'm just going to stroll into the theater by myself.
Cool.
And that's exactly what I did. I went. I got a good seat. I saw it by myself. I saw it with a...
Where did you go?
I saw it at the Grove.
Okay, same theater? Oh, they have a bunch
different
of
theater. Yeah.
Usually I find the Grove to be a very lively place. It was not lively last night. Mm-hmm. I think my audience was super lame. People got up a bajillion times throughout the movie. People were leaving halfway through. There was no noise, no laughter, no cheering, nothing. I, on the other hand, had a very good time.
You did?
I was a solo voice in a theater of silence.
Really?
I was giggling.
By the way, none of us knew what Roxy thought before, yeah. So this is the first time hearing of it. Okay.
I was giggling at parts that I don't know if they wanted me to giggle, though.
Sure. Okay.
I really, really enjoyed this movie, even though I think it has a lot of flaws and things that really, really bothered me. What I loved, I loved. What I didn't love made no sense, and I can't believe got
I'll
past
I'll change your mind
them.
On that. Don't worry.
I don't think so.
I believe so.
But I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I honestly, some parts I looked at, and I was like, how did this happen? Like, how did we make it this far with this still existing? I walked out. The first thing that happened is somebody asked, what did you think? And I was like, similar to you, I got to see it again. I got to see it again. I don't like that answer. I don't like feeling like I have to see something again to know how I feel.
But if you see a Terrence Malick film, it's very common to come out with that kind of response.
But really different. I'm seeing BVS, which I should be able to walk out and say, whoa! So I think I didn't enjoy it as much as I originally thought I would, but I did still really enjoy it. I think a 30 on Rotten Tomatoes is wildly unfair. And the parts I loved, I loved.
There you go. Mike calling out.
My turn. I saw it Monday night, Man's Chinese Theater, lying out the door. I met fans of the show. They came up to me, recognized me. We took pictures. Lincoln, if you're out there, buddy, it was great meeting
you. What's up, fans?
You guys are fantastic. I saw it with a guy who is a comic book movie fan. He does not read comics. He is a drink the Marvel Kool-Aid. Uh-huh. He's the kind of guy that thinks Deadpool is a great Marvel film. And I try and explain the whole, it's Fox, it's not. He's like, no, it's Marvel character.
Because I was going to say, it is a great Marvel film.
But it's not. It's a Fox film.
But it's the most Marvel film that Fox has made up
to
now.
But it's not made by Marvel Studios.
So he was confused on the fact of it.
So he's not the best judge of that.
Fair enough. I get
my theater went nuts at the right parts. For me, I mean, God, that one scene, the guy's in the car, and he looks, and there's the Batmobile headlights, and he just revs that engine, and I go ballistic.
Yeah, comes out,
with that. The right moments, the Wonder Woman reveal. The Wonder Woman, you guys suck at everybody that hated on her. You hated on Michael Keaton, you hated on Heath Ledger, and now everyone, Gal's the best thing in the world because she is, and you should have had faith from the beginning. She owned this fucking movie.
Yep.
She owned the character. She is our Wonder Woman, just like Heath is Joker. Michael Keaton nailed it as Batman, and people should have had faith because now the tune has turned that everyone loves her. And we were fans from the beginning of her. My audience was on board the whole film, cheering. Tears at
so
certain
weird
points.
How isn't that weird? A collective audience, isn't it a fascinating thing? Like you see it all the time in comedy, right? Like the same material.
I went to the Grove last night, and I saw the Force Awakens in the Grove. I got the Force Awakens got the same reaction that Batman's doing. No clapping, no cheering. I do not like seeing movies at the Grove. To me, it is a typical LA. We like to go. It's upscale, this and that. I like going to an AMC in the middle of the city and enjoying a movie.
Yeah.
My first experience was much better. First time, there were a lot of problems that I had, stuff to bother me. Second time, they did not bother me as much.
Oh, similar.
Yeah, and we'll talk. But I still loved it the first time. Second time, my big thing, which we'll talk about later, I'll just say right now, Lex was a huge thing on Monday night where I was just like, ooh, I didn't like him.
We were both like that.
But now this time, I saw it with a different light, and I was with a guy who is a fantastic actor and a great writer. And I wanted to get his opinion on the writing. Because I'm not a good judge of what the mechanics of a writer and what they do. And he did, and I was just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into it more in the depth. But
you Lex flip-flopped?
I'm still not 100% sold.
Well, to piggyback off that before you finish, you know, people are, if they want to criticize Jesse Eisenberg, you're more entitled
to do that. Up to 400, guys. But come on, 100 more listeners. 100 more. Get in there.
He's not Lex Luthor. He's Lex Luthor's kid. And we all know kids of rich people, especially someone as megalomaniacal as Lex Luthor, they're often aloof. They're socially awkward.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Living in his dad.
They think they're better than other people, and they want. They just want. It's all about them. So, in essence.
Very big generalization.
Big generalization, Jesse Eisenberg, that's the role
he's in the worst case.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the role he delivered, like when he was, you know, borderline, like all over the place at the soiree he had. So, I mean, yeah, he was annoying, but at the same time, I think he owned the character. Go ahead.
We'll talk more. I got so much more to say.
We're going to get into the characters.
Yeah, but.
Okay, so that was.
On fucking bored.
All right, Johnny, let's hear from you.
I'm going to keep it simple because I saw it once. I had to drive 2 hours in traffic, do a comedy show, and then I had to stay in Orange County to see a midnight showing. My theater was very tired.
We were supposed to see it together, but he stayed in La Brea to go get drinks instead of seeing it with me, just so everybody knows.
You didn't tell me you were going to see it.
He has to network with comedians. It's part of his job.
All week, Roxy goes, I don't know if I can see it. I have no idea.
I didn't say I didn't know if I could see it. I knew I was going
to
see it.
But you didn't tell me when. You like, I might have to work till 2 a.m. So I was like, well, whatever.
Kids.
Anyways, so I went to see it. I got the very last ticket available at the midnight showing.
Well, that's good.
I sat in the very, very back. Like I said, the theater wasn't very lively, but I did see it at midnight after a long day, and it was a lot to take in. It was a lot to digest. So I will do my initial reaction after seeing it one time in 10 seconds. This is honestly what I really thought. After seeing it, I go, yeah. 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 That's pretty much my overall thought process.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's a lot to digest in like that midnight setting, late night kind of thing, because it's not as...
I was on board. I had a 10 o'clock screening, and I was just like...
It might have been because of my 11:30 screening, but I hate when I do this, and I checked my phone maybe 6 times to see the time.
During the movie?
Yeah, during the movie.
Not once.
I will say, after seeing it twice, I will say I personally have no problem with the runtime or the pacing of the movie. Like, I'm on board.
I'll say this.
Like,
I always get a huge popcorn and a huge soda. Didn't get to go to the bathroom once.
Yeah.
And my first screen. My first time.
You can't get up to go to the bathroom during the movie.
What if I have to take a leak? I'm not going to pee my pants.
I saw it twice.
I sat
with no
there with my hands
squeezing. No, because then I don't enjoy the movie. But, like, if...
I had to pee.
Okay.
It
takes me out of the movie. If I'm like, oh, I got to pee, got to unloose the belt a little bit. I'm not
you're
concentrating.
You're going to miss part of the movie?
But no, I didn't think about it. I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, no, I'm in it.
Only $3.99, guys. We just lost somebody watching because we're talking too much about going to the bathroom.
We're over
Come
400.
On.
We're under 400.
We're over 4 now. Okay. Oh, let's do it. Down.
Let's get down to the next round.
I'm excited to see it for a second time because I know I missed a lot of things. I'm sure there's Easter eggs galore that I have no idea that
I
even
witnessed.
I got
them for you. Don't worry. I got them.
There we go. So overall, we're just going to do a kind of a general structure here. Let's start off with how do we enjoy the start of the film, and then let's get into the performances, who our favorites were. I think we already kind of figured that part out.
Okay.
Not the start of the film, but the start of our slate.
Right. The start of the slate besides Man of Steel. I think it set things up quite well, and they took a lot of risks.
Yeah.
The people who walked out of this and are like, I'm now not going to see any of the DC movies, I don't understand. This, to me, opened up a lot of doors. It didn't close a lot of doors. It made me excited to see the rest because I think we have left ourselves in a good spot to go interesting places.
And
so as a... I guess Man of Steel is the start of our slate. I look at this as more of a start, and I think that it is a good beginning for us.
But also, if you didn't like this movie, Wonder Woman... this movie should not affect Wonder Woman because it's set 100 years ago.
Well, I suppose if you didn't like Wonder Woman...
the character.
Yeah.
She's speaking tonally in terms of, like, the films. Like, if you didn't weren't excited to see one of these Justice League films, you're going to be less excited to see a Wonder Woman movie.
Right.
But you shouldn't... The things that... you know, the pacing, the way they went with it. Suicide Squad, it's not going to affect those films. Like, where you start with the Marvel... It's all going to be building. These DC
No, I know, but do you think that people will think that, though? I know that. You know that.
No,
but
I know people are thinking that.
Right. I think what Roxy's saying is, according to a general person that's not happy with it, it doesn't... Okay, and this was one of my bigger problems with walking out with money. I'm like, if their job is not just to introduce the Justice League stuff, but to get people excited about wanting to see it, then did they do that as spectacularly well as they could have?
They did
because
you were already excited.
A lot of people, you know, they always want to see a happy ending. And let's be honest, this certainly was not a happy ending. But
I love that they did that.
Yeah, I love when films don't have happy endings.
They killed Superman, by the way, guys. Just so you know. At some point, it stopped being just all Dark Knight Returns and somebody's like, oh yeah, that movie that we never did with like Kevin Smith, Tim Burton and all that, we're going to do a little Death of Superman. Here you go, Jurgens.
Everyone loves a cliffhanger, and that's what this movie left us on, and we want to see what happens.
And when I said Jurgens, I was referring to Dan Jurgens. And not the Jergens lotion you're gonna have by your bed because you get
that.
To watch.
I gotta
be
tan a little bit
to keep your skin smooth.
Yeah, you gotta use some Jergens for sure.
Good.
Anyway,
I was taken back there. That coffin with the S on it.
I will say that we'll get more into it, but my theater was incredibly confused by that. They did not know what was going on in that moment.
This is
shot for the moon.
Everything is saying this is a fan, a movie for the fans made by a fan.
Yeah.
It is. My guy that I saw it with, again, who is not a comic book fan, he was upset because there wasn't a post-credit spoiler.
Oh, wait, Jesus. I will...
I was very glad there was not.
Pause on this again, because in the chat they're sad. This is a spoiler review. It is not a spoiler-free review.
We've talked this all the time, guys.
We are giving spoilers.
Yeah, no.
It's in our title. It's what we're doing.
Saying.
What he just gave was not a spoiler. That's what happened. We're talking about the movie that we saw.
We've been saying it all week. We've seen the movie. We're talking about the movie. I don't know how you missed that. So there you go.
This is not my big fat wedding review.
We appreciate you guys being here. Please, thank you for being here, guys.
But I don't want you here if you haven't seen the movie, because we'll ruin it for you.
If you're watching and you haven't seen the movie yet, stop. Go see the movie.
But did I just spoil the fact that Superman dies?
Yeah. But you did it, and then all of a sudden it was like, we hate you, Roxy. Like, I didn't do that. Adam did that, but I would have done it.
Because Roxy loves spoilers.
But I didn't mean to.
He just keeps saying it.
I got it.
All right, continue. Sorry.
I think, again, this is if you follow these characters and you know these characters.
Yeah.
You're excited for what's coming. Yes, that alienates...
Yeah, so do you think the way they introduced it, and do you think that, here's another criticism, is that the way it was done is through this, like, hard drive subplot, and then, like, it comes up on this hard drive, which I love that, like, Wonder Woman couldn't decrypt it, and she has to give it to Bruce Wayne to military-grade encryption. You forget about it, it comes back, which this whole thing bothered me, like, hell the first time, and then it comes up, and then there's all the logos for your favorite Justice League characters. Yeah. Like, people at LexCorp are like, oh, I think this will be, we'll call him Aquaman, and we'll do this.
No, I'll say this. People had a problem with that. And in the comics, Bruce Wayne, he's got in his secret lair in the bottom of the back, he's got a vault, and they have cases with individual contingencies to deal with every member of the Justice League. And he's got logos on all of them. He's got the C for Cyborg. When does Cyborg have a logo? But Bruce Wayne does. It's a comic thing. It's a comic world. It's the comics.
For me,
okay. It's make believe.
No, I don't think you do.
Okay.
I don't think you do because I've heard that everybody, this is the biggest thing they hate on in the movie. Uh-huh. I loved it. Loved this part.
What,
I loved that we saw with the cyborg.
Oh,
and with
fantastic.
Click here for more.
Click here for more. I was like, this is the least subtle thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
But I love it. Look at this. But we are literally watching mini trailers for these other films, and I was like, I'm all in. Everybody else I know hated it.
But let me say
this. I don't care. I thought it was freaking fantastic.
It shows Lex Luthor how devious he is. He's had files on these. He is the equivalent.
He's watching them. It's creepy. Yeah.
He's the equivalent of Bruce Wayne having things ready to go. This is something Bruce Wayne does.
To track people.
That's what I mean. This is the Bruce Wayne. Okay, go.
The Aquaman thing was
Lex
great.
Lex Luthor is ahead of Bruce Wayne, smart-wise.
Yeah.
He's got this. Bruce Wayne's like, Lex is like, I had it all done.
Yeah.
He's the smartest motherfucker in the world.
Wonder Woman's also learning about these people because at this point I'm like, does she know?
No.
Is she aware of any of this? And then we see her face while she's watching. I'm like, cool.
The cyborg thing was a little wacky.
Okay, here's the thing about the cyborg
thing. Are we going in order?
King Famous wants us to bring this up right now.
We're skipping ahead.
We are skipping ahead a little bit. We're still talking general right now. This is later on in the story.
Okay, sorry. So we're just talking broad strokes, introduction of Justice League. So again, to talk to my two viewings. First time, I was like, all the Justice League stuff was stupid. It was shoehorned in. It had nothing to do with this movie. Second time in, I was like, I'm in the universe of the Justice League that is born out of the Justice League animated series.
Just
and this
excited
Batman,
to be there.
And Batman is like the one who's like, he's being the detective. He's gonna, it's like, just again, this is like, and then I just loved it. And also, I know we're gonna talk about the Mother Box, but I didn't even see the Mother Box the first time.
Oh, I did.
And I did. And seeing that the second time, it was just like another thing that helped tie it together. So, okay, back.
All right, back out.
There you
Johnny,
go.
Bring us on track.
All right, back. So we already talked about performances, our favorites, stuff like that. As far as
did we talk about performances, our favorites?
No,
we did not.
Let's go.
Performances.
I think we all agree. Gal was amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
From a woman's perspective.
So from a woman's perspective, you guys know I was never angry about her casting, but I was a little worried about her size at first. She seemed very, in a great way, large to me. Like she was completely large is the wrong word.
No, I don't know.
But she had a very big presence.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated her. I think she was sexy too.
Yes.
While also being somebody like that. I think women can love her. I think men can love her. I think what she represents is so awesome. I think she came in at the right time. I think they used her as a good device. I almost wanted to see a little more of her, but it's not her movie.
Yes.
That's why we have a Wonder Woman movie. So I thought she murdered it.
Okay, I on Gal. Okay, this is again seeing it twice.
Gal.
I Gal.
Gal. I'll call her whatever she wants.
I'm the only one who can say it.
She got applause both times in both viewings that I saw. I loved Wonder Woman. I loved everything about as Wonder Woman. I thought some of her dialogue I had a problem with. I think her presence was a little shrinking to me, and speaking some of her lines as Wonder Woman, like the one line, like why did you bring him back into the city? Just that line felt really flat to me twice.
Oh, I love that.
I noticed it the first time. I noticed it the second time. To me, she's like, why did you bring him back to the city? It just didn't have gravitas to me.
Okay.
Not so much the Diana Prince stuff, and then again, the action of Wonder Woman, I loved a lot. So I can, I'm just, and I think it was just she was getting tripped over her accent a little bit in the worlds of the English. Like, I just, there are a couple of lines.
Funny you say that, because a couple of buddies of mine last night, they loved her as Diana Prince, did not love her as Wonder Woman. And I would ask, I go, okay, think of it from outside of one. Was that the stuff that was filmed first? It's green screen stuff too, so a lot of actors are not comfortable with green screen work where they're looking at a tennis ball and this and that. And she's thinking, and now the Diana Prince was much more her and Bruce Wayne. We heard rumors that those she screen tested with them, so those scenes she's probably screen tested.
I don't get it though. I loved her as Wonder Woman. I thought she was so aggressive. And
when an actress or an actor is skinny or something on screen, you notice it. Never once did you go, "Ooh, she could have put some weight on."
No. She looked amazing as Wonder Woman.
Cavill was the only one in his one scene. I was like, oh, he looks smaller than normal.
Really?
Oh,
I never thought that.
And that
about
one scene where he's cooking dinner and he looks at the TV.
Oh, no, I thought he looked huge.
He looked a little different.
His back muscles were
not
like
compared to Man of Steel.
Out.
He's popping out of the water in Man of Steel to get the shirt.
But
anyway,
honestly,
regardless, that's not, I'm not, he's no.
When he walks in, he's like, I was going to cook dinner. What do you mean?
Let me get back to Wonder Woman. I don't do female crushes like movie stars and this. I fell in love with her. Yeah. She had the weight of someone that's been around for hundreds of years. She had this gravitas that she walked around and she owned the role. She held up to Bruce Wayne. She just was statuesque. And my God, when she fucking got knocked on her butt and she looks at Doomsday and she smirks. And my friends did not get that. Like, I don't get that. That's the look of a woman that's been fighting hundreds of years. And she goes, finally, a challenge.
Yeah.
I wanted a...
That said a lot about Wonder Woman's character.
Okay, let's go.
That said a lot about Wonder Woman's character.
Look, when she's got the lasso and she's pulling on it, and she's just like, oh.
Didn't you wish that we got to see the lasso actually go around it?
And I'll say this back to what you said. It was the perfect shot, and Zack Snyder is a visual filmmaker. It's Batman just looking. You see from behind him, and he's looking back and forth, and there's Superman, there's Doomsday, there's Wonder Woman, there's these gods, and he's just like, I'm obsolete.
He's like, I'm Hawkeye.
I can't do this.
I'm Hawkeye right now.
I'm in over my head.
And it's just, you see Wonder Woman just loving battle.
Okay.
And I'm excited for Wonder Woman, but I was never like, yes, I got to find more. I have got to see this movie Wonder Woman now.
And that shot of her from 1918.
Oh, with Steve Trevor. Cool. And like a lot of people in the audience, I'm like, Steve Trevor, and they're all like, who? I'm just like, come on, guys.
No, I love that.
That shot was incredible.
You can't, but that's why those are the people that like, I don't get this movie.
So guys,
that's for the fans that love this stuff.
I got to bring this up. This is the most polarizing. I think we're all agreed. We liked Affleck. I thought Cavill was great.
We haven't talked about anybody, but.
Well, the most polarizing is Lex Luthor. Everyone's going crazy, better or worse on him.
Okay.
Well,
we should definitely talk about... We got to talk about the leads, too.
Yeah, because I want to talk about the leads a little bit because, honestly, I was not as impressed with Cavill this time. He was a little... it's frustrating because I think Ben Affleck did such an amazing job that I almost felt like Cavill was, like, lacking in a kind of wimpy way at times. It was weird for me.
He does play a beta. And like, even, and I was joking, but like, that scene when he goes home to cook with Lois, it's like he's, you know, I was going to cook.
Like, I walked out of this movie when, if the question is Batman v Superman, who wins in a fight, it was clearly Batman. And there was no question to me. Superman got his butt handed to him, which we'll talk about the actual fight, but I wanted him to be stronger. I wanted it to be... have him have more of a presence, and I don't know whether this was because of the script or because of the actor, but I didn't like him as much as I liked him in Man of Steel.
I don't know with him. I don't know if it's the acting or the writing. Because in Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's charming, he's funny.
I just finally saw that, and I actually liked it a lot more.
And I don't know if it's just... this with Superman, the way they're going, and someone made an interesting
they
point.
They actually knew how to write for him in Man for U.N.C.L.E. too, because he's not very rangy.
Yeah, but maybe they said, is this one, now that we know he's dead, and he eventually comes back, is this a chance to do a different take on Superman?
Oh, like different casting? I actually
No, not different casting, but giving him a chance to lighten up and to be a more
It's going
to
be great
Superman.
To see how he comes back. That's why I think it was such a great
he
scene.
And everyone was worried about Gal, but... his was the one performance of the three where I'm kind of like...
Same.
I just... And I watched Man of Steel the night before. Yeah. I watched the full, and what a fantastic film that is.
And I think he did a great job in that film, too.
Yes. But it's also, but it's the same continuation, where he's the Superman in that movie of all mortals, and there's no one that larger-than-life characters. Now you've got him with larger-than-life characters, he's kind of like the
Johnny, what was your take on Cavill?
Like I said, I liked Cavill. I really have no complaints. I had my reservations about it going in, but after seeing him in BVS, I was completely fine with Cavill's performance.
Why did you have reservations going in? Because of Man of Steel?
A little bit about Man of Steel. Yeah. I just didn't know. I felt like he was a little... And like I said, this could go back to the writing. They could be writing Superman to be kind of bland, but then again, he's never been Mr. Personality to begin with. But so again, Cavill's doing what he can with what he's given, I think.
That Jurgens run, like, I love. I love Superman of that era. Like, he's, I think they really nailed it in that around that Death of Superman era. Like, I knew who he was.
Superman works when he's the leader of the Justice League because he's in control and he's an adult.
Yeah.
This was a different take. This was the young Superman versus the elder Batman.
So still a couple of weeks into his career, here's another scene that I really had a problem with the first time that I kind of changed on the second one, but I still have a problem with it. When he's in the courthouse,
okay.
Lex, we clearly vilify Lex. Scoot McNairy's
lightning rod, what they said, lightning rod, which... We'll talk about it, but that surprised that.
So the first time it was like, it surprised me in a bad way. I'm like, that's too dark. I'm just saying what I felt the first time.
We're just talking characters right now, though.
Okay. But the way he reacted there after everyone died, in Man of Steel, I loved how he responded after Zod killed him. Like that crying, that screaming face, like that is amazing after he kills Zod. After his reaction after the explosion there, which was horrible, he was just like, ugh.
And I'll defend this. Watching Man of Steel again, I wrote this down. Pa Kent says to him, make a choice.
No.
Make a choice to stand in front of the human race or not. And he made a choice to stand in front of the human race. And look what happened. They all...
And that's what you got from that facial expression?
No, but that's him. That's him making... That could be an acting choice.
And that's my problem.
Okay, but that's the reason that he's
And here's the other thing. I don't know if we're going to do it. But right there, I think, like, again, this is a character choice.
Right, we're not saying plot.
Okay.
This
right.
character.
I have a lot to say about that.
I know. Okay. We'll get to it. But
okay, so overall,
the big three was Ben Affleck, who we haven't spoken that much about.
Okay. So we finally got to see the Batman movie.
Right. Starting with you, Johnny, how did you feel about Ben Affleck's performance?
Going into it, I had full confidence in Ben Affleck, and he absolutely delivered, I thought, from start to finish. There was so much, there was a lot of range, there was so much, you said gravitas to it. Oh. You saw the bitterness in him, you saw ever so many years and stuff he dealt with, you saw the pain going back to childhood, and you saw the vindictiveness in how he really wanted to take out Superman.
Brutal.
How do you feel, Mike?
I'm sold, but I was sold the minute he was cast. I was sold, I've loved Affleck, I think he's fantastic, I love the fact that he was drinking and he had a table full of, you know, pills he was popping. He's got a girl next to him.
Girl next to him. And he never even see her face.
Yeah, that was great.
He just doesn't care. He's just like,
Bruce, you scoundrel.
It's a man of like, well, there's always going to be crime. This is my life. I put him in jail. They come back out. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep doing what I do. They're not going to stop me. And now it's like, I don't know what to do now. The monologue of this is my life's legacy and this, I'm older than my father was.
Yeah.
Him and Alfred, I want their movie now. I want a solo film.
Yeah.
I got to see it. The fighting that he getting shot in the head. And I was concerned with the killing.
Well, who did he kill?
A lot of people.
His Batwing blew the hell up out of those things. He smashed with his car. And I'm not talking the dream sequence. I'm just talking in that main
scene. That's what I'm saying. So there was actual killing because I saw it. And like, Zack Snyder came out
and said he's like, It's not murder. It's manslaughter because he didn't actually shoot them. He shot the car that exploded.
Right.
There is the one scene. The guy throws the grenade. He kicks it back, but the guy goes to cover the grenade, so he explodes. So he didn't try to prevent him. But again, he's like, I don't have to. Yeah. You know.
He also is branding people.
I don't. I love that. And the fact that he's like, they say that the bat brain in prison is a death sentence.
Which I don't get.
I love that. Meaning that you were you might have snitched to the bat. You might have this and that to the bat.
You got your ass kicked by the bat. I think they were commiserate over that.
No, I mentioned he was, Batman was taking out justice on, you know, pedophiles and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
Oh, is that
what they said? There was a pedophile. Was the one was caught as
sex trafficking?
It was, yeah,
sex trafficking. Yeah.
I mean, that comes sex trafficking. We'll put it that way. Where we're like, so you're saying like Jared Fogle could have gotten like the bat brand?
Yeah. Oh, he would have.
He'd
be like,
exactly
like in like the shape of a foot long.
Well, he actually did get his ass kicked in jail already.
Well, that's why I'm relating that to that
good
bit of news. He would have been branded.
So
okay, what about you though?
Oh, okay. So I really thought that it was a lot of a Batman style from a combination of the animated series, and it also really felt like a lot of the Arkham series and Injustice Gods Among Us, which makes sense because if you think of who you're marketing this film to,
a lot of injustice.
There's a lot of injustice going on in this film. I mean, some people will take that literally, and other of us will know that figuratively to connote the video games and the comic book series. Very dark takes on the characters. Also, a lot of the plot things even indicate that. But the action itself felt like, I mean, up to now, I've been the best Batman I've seen because I'm playing Arkham Knight, and I've got incredible moves and combos and stuff. And Zack Snyder was able to even thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He could still do better than me, but I was able to see that live, so I loved the bat action. It was the best bat action I've ever seen. And the second time, I liked it more.
How about when he pulled the guy through the wall and he's holding the machine gun? That's Dark
RoboCop.
Knight. That's Dark. No,
oh,
it's Dark Knight.
Well, yeah, which is also Knight. RoboCop, which references RoboCop. Oh,
regardless,
they were around the same time.
In my opinion, regardless of whether you like this movie or not, I don't know how you could walk away from this not respecting Ben Affleck's performance. I think
he kills it.
Kills it.
I haven't heard too many people crap on his performance yet.
I have seen a few.
Yeah.
But there's people that are going to hate.
Let's, but
as far as there's a lot that people are destroying on this movie, and would you say that that's one of the things
no.
the least?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a high point of this movie.
Yeah. And again, I can't wait to see the movie, and we'll talk about Jeremy Irons too, but he was probably my favorite performance the first time.
Yeah.
And like, I loved that Alfred, man. I loved that Alfred.
Yep.
Drinking constantly. I don't know. Sure, as if there's likely to be another generation of Wayans.
Not for lack of trying.
Yes. You should be so lucky, Alfred. Drains a glass of brown. People are like, and he takes over the drone for him. He's like, oh, yes, of course.
There we go. I think we're all sold on the score. I mean, come on.
Yes,
100%.
Score's fantastic.
Again, first time I had a real problem with the dour Superman cue. It was like, as opposed to da 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 da, you got doom doom.
Yeah.
Doom doom. And I was like, the first time I was like, really? Do I have to be so sad Superman's on screen? It bothered me less the second time. That was one of those things where I was like, all right, I get it. It's tying it together. It's this. And the score actually as a whole worked for me better the second time. And I actually loved it the second time. First time, I was really pissed about the sad Superman music. And I heard the Junkie XL more this time too. Within that, it was really them weaving. I didn't feel like it was like Hans here and then Junkie here. It was more like Junkie XL. I feel that laid in a lot of that electronic stuff over Hans' stuff. Do you see it the same way?
I see it very similar. But I really enjoyed the score, and there was two parts that stood out to me like crazy. Number one, when Lex was walking and it was kind of like going with his steps.
It was like a little Mr. Luthor walk. Yeah,
I like that. This sounds so weird, but one of his feet was, his left foot was walking like down at once and his right foot was going dun-dun. So it was like, and it, I don't know, I think they just captured it. It was really cool. And then when Wonder Woman comes down at the end,
I understand people have a problem with this, like Lex. Are we sliding into Lex right now?
I need to talk music.
Okay. Because we talked a couple of actors. Then this is what happens when we try to be organized. Everyone, it's organized chaos.
We're trying.
All right, talk music. Love the music. I mean, I listened to it since I got it Thursday night of last week. And I couldn't put it into place where it was in the movie, but now seeing the movie, and I listen to the soundtrack all the time, so now I know when it's in the movie. The opening credits, it's breathtaking. That opening credits, we'll talk about it more in depth. It goes with that. I love his music when he's
Bruce.
In the Batmobile chase scene.
Yeah.
My God, that's fantastic.
What about when Batman does the Rescue Martha fight? The highlight fight? Just like everything about that. Probably the best scene in the film.
Probably. We'll talk about it later. We'll get to it later.
All right, the rest of the characters, is that what we want to go through?
I would love. What do you guys think about Jeremy Irons? I mean, I've said enough. I love it.
No question. Love it.
He was actually in the movie less than I thought he was going to.
I knew he was going to be in less. He had said he's like, I'm not in it that much. I have a couple scenes.
It was perfect for me because he was able to basically be like the comic relief of the film.
Yeah,
and he showed that this Alfred combines what we knew Lucius Fox and Alfred to be doing in the previous incarnation. Mm-hmm. He does both. He's making grenades. fades. He's
the
just
voice box.
He's like, oh, when he's doing the vocal warm up with the voice box.
I feel like he was a really, really selfless actor in this, where he just knew that it wasn't about him, and he was just such a great support. And I loved him. I think that he clearly knew his place, and he did a great job.
He's got the best job in a movie like this. He just comes in, he's just a seasoning. Yeah. The movie is not being made or broken on Alfred's back,
but now you want to see him. You want to see the movie with him and Bruce.
Yeah, and I've actually read several reviews that were like, well, I was perplexed by this film. Give me the Affleck, Batman, Jeremy Irons, Alfred movie yesterday.
Yeah.
That was, you know.
There are some other minor characters that you guys don't want to...
Yeah, let's go for them.
Well, what did you guys think about Lois in this one?
She was a pretty major character. She was in a lot.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
She she did one... I guess we'll talk about it in the story. One character moment where I was just like, is a plot device that happened that...
Of course, you're talking about throwing the frickin' thing into the water. I know. She was my least favorite
Which,
part of this entire
movie. Batman would have just done it, looked at it, and thrown it, gone in water. She saw that, had to go back and get it. Solve. Plot, solve, point, solve.
Sure.
How did that get that far in editing? Like, why was that not?
That's what I was talking about originally.
Why was
it
such
an
easy fix?
Who said, like, let's
why
clear that?
Why did Bruce see what he did, see the body, throw it away from him? Boom, in the water.
Yeah.
Lois goes, oh.
I agree. There were some plot device-y things that happened all along that
her
scene. I think her character,
I actually like her,
but it was unfortunate that once again, and again, you could also go that this is ultra-traditional or this could really bother you. Like, traditionally, Superman's always saving Lois. That's what happens in the comics. People want to see more independent and more, heroic female characters, not just female characters that are always getting saved. She gets saved 3 times by Superman in this movie.
At least we had her juxtaposed
three
with
times.
Wonder Woman, so we do see a strong female.
Yes.
But I had a really hard time with Lois in this. I liked her way more in Man of Steel. I had a problem with both the plot and some of the actress's choices. And she really was a low point for me.
I mean, thrown off the building, like, it really begs the question that, like, Superman is preoccupied with everything else, but anything happens to Lois. He really is, like, he came off as almost like her Crypto the Superdog. Like, he's such a lapdog to
her. Look at this in the world that they set up with Superman. Mm. This is a different Superman. Like, what if we were Superman and my girlfriend was in trouble? You damn right
he
would be there to
he
save her.
He does say it in that opening
he's
scene. He's
world.
Like, I'm sorry.
You're my
world.
Mm-hmm. And I will do everything to protect you.
It's a choice.
I've lost people because I didn't act. I will never lose you.
Yeah. That's right. No, they definitely address it. They definitely address it. You can have a problem with the choice.
I'm
with
you. You can't fault, you know.
Roxy, I also felt like, for me, it was a little bit too much Lois. did we talk about, I know I already gave my opinion on Lex Luthor. If you want a megalomaniacal son of Lex Luthor, thought he pulled it off. We have people in chat rolls saying that he wasn't scary enough, he wasn't frightening enough. What do you guys think?
I think that a lot of people say this is a low point for them. Lex wasn't a low point for me, actually. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed his performance, and I'm somebody who you guys know over the past year has been like, Jesse. Yeah, but did you hear him? He did it later again as he went over, Senator! And I was oh my God.
Okay, I'll say this. I did not like him first viewing.
Yeah.
Second viewing, talking to my friend who's a writer, it's interesting. There's almost two Lexes in this film.
Mm-hmm.
There's the creepy, maniacal guy, but then when he gets to the Kryptonian ship, it shifts and he becomes ticky.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think in the deleted scenes, there's got to be more of him in that ship when he says, "Teach me everything."
Right.
There's got to be that's got to be the fleshed out.
Yeah, I agree, and I also want to hear more about why.
It's Cherry.
I
loved it.
That was
creepy.
Freaking weird.
Okay,
I know.
But let's talk about how. He is smarter than Bruce Wayne because he's maniacal and he manipulated them together and he's got files on everyone. So I love that. So I saw that. I didn't recognize that the first time. The second time I did, I go, he is a chess master playing these pieces.
I gotta say, I have a very similar experience. The first time I was like, what movie is he in? The first time I saw it, I'm like, what movie is this guy in? He's in a totally different movie.
Yeah.
Second time, again, thinking about, for 3 days, how much I hated his performance, totally saw it a different way. Totally saw it like this guy is, his villainy is on a godly level of the gods he's supposed to be offending. So it's like he blows up that Senate with Mercy Graves in it, by the way.
Yeah.
The Capitol building, Mercy Graves, who's like his girl, sitting in the chair, like, oh, where's Lex? It's not like she left because she knew that was going to happen. I also, the first time, thought Scoot McNairy knew he was blowing himself up. He didn't.
No, he was
because he's so out about the fact that he's not a hero. Here? He's like, no, I'm going to give you this chair. You're going to go and you're going to bring Superman down by deriding him as a. Meanwhile, he didn't know he was going in there with a bomb.
Like they said, he's
in
a lightning rod
In terms of Lex
character.
Being in a different movie, though, I agree with that, which I liked. I think he's in his own movie, his own world, his own planet. It's Lex, Alexander.
But
that's what he's living.
But
and
then
I
the end,
that.
Too, when he starts preaching about Darkseid and he's got snot all over his face, like I went along for the ride the second time.
We
just
think he's preaching about.
I think he is. Well, somebody's coming. Whatever. Something's coming, and it sounds great. It sounds like it's Darkseid. I love the cherry Jolly Rancher.
Oh, I love it.
I love that the first time though, but the first time that was the only thing I liked.
Okay.
And then I also liked his speech where he just starts gets meandering, where you think he's playing a character, but you realize
he's just like he can't talk to people.
He just, he's just up there. Oh,
that's
man.
Why I liked it. He literally, there's something off about him, and that's.
Yeah. I didn't love, again, the scene with Lois on the rooftop, but again, that is right out of a comic book.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You know, I mean, this is a broad film. And that's the thing, is like all these different comic book properties, like Marvel versus Fox, like everybody's got to find their tonal footing to stand out. And DC is establishing their tonal footing, and it has a large operatic scope. And I think a lot of the first viewing was adjustment. And the second thing, I was like, no, I'm in it.
I see a lot of people in the chat too. The character of Mercy Graves. We are going to do our. I'm going to do next week, guys. The character corner. We are going to focus on Mercy Graves because she kind of got screwed over in this film. That is a really great character of Mercy Graves. He talks about casting this actress because he loved her in The Wolverine, wanted to work with her. She, to me, seems like she was cut on the cutting room floor, but I will go into that on Character Corner probably up next week for you guys to find out about
this
character.
What did you think? Great plug. What did you think about that part where she goes down like that?
It shows that he doesn't give up because Mercy is Lex's bodyguard, his right hand man. That she's always there. She's just as she's smart.
But there's also a lot of status quo shifts that have happened at the end of this film.
But the fact that he would blow her up too, he left her there.
Yeah, I was happy she was in the movie at all, though. I thought that she was a nice little benefit. I wish that
there
was. Oh my
god!
When
she's just walking down the hallway, that whole scene is iconic.
It's like you know, there's more to that character. But again, it could have been they could have made it you know Susie whatever. So they did make it a character in the universe.
They also had Firefly in there, too.
No, KG Beast.
Oh, KG Beast. Right.
But, it was a... I think she needs to be fleshed out. But, again, it's just another peppering that adds to the steak flavor.
Overall, Zack Snyder's storytelling. This is another controversial topic.
Decisive.
Very visual. To me, because people want to say in chat, well, what are you gonna, what negative stuff are you talking about? We're talking about everything. We're talking about negative things. To me, and like I said, look, I saw it at midnight. I'm no expert. It seemed clunky at times, the storytelling. And granted, I do want to see it for a second time, for sure.
Yeah.
And a third time. But it just seemed a little clunky to me at times. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I agree with that. I think that him having 30 extra minutes in the R-rated version might do a lot for the storytelling. There were so many quick cuts where there was no transitional scenes where I was like, we're here, we're there, we're thrown into things. Zack Snyder isn't my favorite. I know you guys like him more than I do in general. I think he focuses on the wrong thing sometimes. And to me, he didn't add to this movie the way that I wanted it to be added to. From the very first opening scene all the way through, yes, it was pretty. It was. Yeah. It was pretty. But he's not my favorite.
Yeah. You know what? Again, that would be Zack Snyder's, you know, the person probably most responsible for the end product of this film right now. So that's a big thing to talk about. Like, more than any of the performances, anything like that, Zack Snyder is the director. He's the guy that's bringing this story to life. It's his vision.
A lot of people want him out here. Chat roll.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
And we'll say this, guys. He's not going. He is filming Justice League in 2.5 weeks. They're not replacing him. They're going. It's his thing. He might not do part two.
Where did this rumor start that everybody's like, he's getting cut? He's not getting cut from Justice League.
No, he is not. I mean, that's just even if WB wanted him gone, they would not.
I think they've known for a long time the film that they've had.
Yes.
And
we've been hearing
rumors about all the reactions. Nothing is surprising me right now with how people are reacting to this film.
Very good point.
Nothing is surprising, but you can't think that if they are course correcting or whatever they're doing, we already heard Chris Terrio saying a couple of weeks ago that, you know, the script was going to be more lighthearted. And even the way that this movie ends with a death, it ends more lighthearted. It's bright. We're in the, you know, and Diana Prince and Bruce Wayne are about to start like their adventure.
Yeah.
You know, we know something's going on in that box. I got to say, I'm excited to see Zack Snyder take. I know you guys are going to kill me for this, but I think Goyer had a lot to do with the story and the script. I think Terrio came in after.
Was brought in
I
later.
Think there was a lot of changes that were happening. I think this is why it was such a long, protracted production schedule. I think a lot of this was like, all right, we're getting up. And now I think we're going to start to see even more fluid storytelling in film, starting with Suicide Squad, with Wonder Woman. I think now they had to do a lot at once just to get this product
done. There was a time limit, too. They had a deadline.
And you see it. And you see it all over the film. But if you got to ask me, it's like, I think Zack Snyder is the guy to direct the first Justice League. It's still his vision. It's still his DC universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on board. I think he made a fantastic Batman film that he had to have Superman tag along.
I heard you tell. You told me that.
You can tell that he has that love for Batman because that stuff. And it's interesting to see because we talked about Ben Affleck was doing some rewriting with Terrio on set during it. So, in his scenes, like the scene of him where, like, again, I bring it up where he's talking, like, this is my legacy, what I'm going to do. Those are great moments. And
there's a comment here. Affleck says in an interview, Terrio was hired before him, he claims in an interview. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know if that's true. But listen, okay, to speak about the story, at least script-wise, the opening and closing voiceovers, which were both Ben Affleck, right?
Right, yeah.
I thought those were super out of an incredible comic book. Speaking I thought that like opening, that writing okay, but then that was great. I love the closing tag with that and the opening. Like it sounded like I was seeing one of those boxes where I'm seeing like the thoughts of Batman, just not the thought bubble, but the narration. How the Dark Knight will often narrate the story. It felt like it was his narration of that.
Well, while we're talking about scenes specifically, I guess.
Okay.
A lot of people
are we going into the movie now?
Got to, because we don't have that much time.
All right.
A lot of people want to know.
Okay, but just briefly, the costumes and the vehicles looked really cool. I will say, because we didn't get any love to the costumes at all.
You can't fault any costume or vehicle.
Arguably the best Batmobile. I mean, certainly.
Although somebody in here is bitching about the fact that it had turn signals, which is kind of funny.
You got to turn. You got to be safe.
It had turn signals.
I didn't notice that. The Batmobile I thought was great.
Go pick up if you have not. This is not. I don't make these. The Art of and the Tech Journal. These are phenomenal. The scene, his nightmare costume, we don't ever see fully.
Yeah.
He's got his gun. There's a Joker card taped to his gun.
Oh,
go and read these books. They're phenomenal.
Sorry, Johnny, you can talk about a story. I just wanted to mention
a lot of people want to know our thoughts on the scene with Flash in the dream sequence.
Oh, we're just jumping ahead?
Because this is what people keep begging to know.
Let's start with the beginning of the movie.
Okay, start.
The opening scene of the movie with the pearls and the beautifulness of it all.
I have to talk, but please.
Do I get to talk?
Absolutely.
Roxy, I will.
Keep going.
I know, because all he wants to do is... So go ahead, say it, and then
please.
I'll respond to you.
No, please go.
I didn't love this. I didn't love this to be the opening of a movie. I think that it was really, really beautifully shot. I think that it was well executed. I think that he nailed exactly what he wanted to do. It wasn't what I wanted to see. I think that it's very difficult because we are watching a scene that we have watched so many times, so many times. So you want to make your mark on it. You want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't well explained. So if it is your first time seeing something, I don't even think you really know what's going on. But I didn't need it to be well explained because I've seen it a million times. Of the versions we have seen, this was not even close to my favorite.
Okay.
Please.
All right. No, I liked it. I liked updating it from Zorro to Excalibur.
Yeah, I saw that.
No, it was still Zorro poster on the
wall. Oh, it was.
It's coming soon, Excalibur.
Right, so Zorro I love putting it in 1981. I love that. I love the costume of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the montage a lot. I mean, I thought it looked beautiful. I liked, him falling down. I also liked him rising up with the bats out of the thing and floating because it was the first sort of fantastical thing you're seeing. And
it took me out of it for a second. I was like, what's
going on here?
It totally took me out of it.
But then he's like, in the dream.
Right. It's in the dream, right. And then, so I liked that whole sequence. The first bit of dialogue in the film was where I had my first cringeworthy moment, which set me off in a bad taste. And this was the great part with Bruce Wayne driving into the city, and then he picks up the phone and calls Jack and tells Jack to get everybody out of the film. I just thought that was really dumb because I'm like...
Not out of the film, out of the building.
Out of the building.
Yeah, they should have already been doing that, right?
They're waiting for Bruce Wayne to call them and say get out of the building. I had a huge problem with
that. Standing still and he was like, yeah, okay, boss.
Like, everybody's just standing in the building while the city's getting decimated and they're all just like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. Hey, Bruce... Get everybody out of the building. Yeah, all right, everybody go.
Yeah, I was very confused by
it
that.
It bothered me.
It's already, like, shit's already going down, and Jack turns around and is like, oh, I guess we should.
He's still a hero if he charges toward the building. Like, I get it. You're trying to make him sound like the boss, but if they're like, until the boss says go, we go down with this building.
Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that.
Okay.
Go but ahead, Mike.
The origin.
Anybody else
and
feel
this
that?
Is, and I can say safely say that I have probably seen this version done, the death of the Waynes, countless times.
Many times.
And it was so fresh and new. Because.
Better than Gotham?
For the very first time, and I could be wrong on this, guys, for the very first time, Thomas Wayne was not going, oh, what's wrong? Let me help you. He, if you watch, balls up his fist and charges the man. He is I am going to fight. Martha comes up, grabs and pushes the gun down. They both were fighting this. We've never seen this. And it goes back to, Alfred, what were the Waynes? Well, they were rebels. No, we were hunters.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
God,
is
that
Thomas Wayne. Yeah.
This was a setup for my least favorite part of the entire movie, which is him turning over and saying, Martha. So that's supposed to haunt us the whole time. Martha, Martha, the biggest plot device in the whole fucking movie.
Which was phenomenal.
The dumbest shit I have ever
We're talking
ever
about
witnessed.
The Waynes, and this is a Thomas Wayne who could be Batman in Flashpoint.
Yeah.
This is a Thomas Wayne. Yeah. He is like, you're going to come after my family? You, man, I'm going to take you down.
Well, he hired and the comedian to be him.
It's phenomenal. It gave a different take on the Waynes that has been done so many times. We saw a new version of Thomas and Martha Wayne that were protecting their son, and I loved it. The Martha line... when it came back, I loved it.
So needless to say, you did not enjoy the Martha connection. Is that what you're saying?
That is another thing.
Do we talk about that now, or do we wait till the end of the
movie?
Okay, let's keep going. Charging through. So beginning. All right. So intro of the film.
Johnny, you're,
all
right. Johnny,
yep, moving on. I'm on top of it. Let's see here. We have the opening.
Wanted to talk about the dreams and visions. You want to just talk about them in general because there are so many of them?
There's so many of them. People want to know the Flash scene. And then, of course, it all ties in at the end when Batman or when Bruce Wayne goes, I just got a feeling. Of course, because he's got...
Both times, I loved the Flash scene. Second time, I loved it more because I could actually make out the Flash helmet underneath the tech helmet.
The visor, the...
So I actually, first time I seen it, I was like, what is this thing? Oh, that's cool that's Flash. Why does he look like Flash Iron Man? Yeah. And then I realized it's just probably what he uses to be able to go not just fast, but when he's got to go interdimensional travel.
Right.
That's his time travel suit.
Yeah.
And then what I loved was the line, I'm like, am I too soon? Was he saying, am I early or am I too soon?
I'm too early. It's Lois. She's the key. Right, you got to fight him.
Because you're expecting to hear, I'm too late. I'm too early.
What? I know.
Yeah.
But
Bruce is
only
just like,
time will tell what the hell is going on here.
And
love this.
Because questions, it honestly asked questions that felt organic, even though they were within, you know, it was within a dream. You were like, all right, Zack Snyder is just showing us a masturbatory Batman in the desert fight piece. And then it's, but no, this could be a future.
Yeah, this could be a future.
That's what I think,
So cool. I loved this part. I will say, for people who didn't know that there was a Flash even in this universe, for people who don't know Ezra Miller was cast, my entire theater, I think audibly, was like, huh? Like, what?
See, my...
Nobody
that got huge.
My theater went like this. My theater went, the Flash! We all went nuts.
I don't think a single person, when I was watching, knew what was happening. And I was like, what?
And again, this is a movie for the fans.
Yeah.
Because we get that.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know what?
The first time you see the Flash, it's in a time travel thing. Like, wow.
Thank you for making a movie for us.
Yeah, I thought that was a really, really cool moment.
So that was the first time you see the Flash.
Are we talking all flashbacks right now?
No, I think we're talking all
might as well. I mean, you know, the desert parademons thing. I think that's a vision of the future, and that's one of the reasons he wants to get the lead together.
As cool as that nightmare
scene
was.
The Orion symbol, you know?
As cool as it was, I don't think we needed it.
I don't think we needed it either.
It was weird.
I think
we needed him doing the computers.
Things got fuzzy and a little strange for me there.
Do the computers kind of drift off as the computer's downloading?
Right.
Flash. Bruce! That we needed. The nightmare scene... Or it could have been placed differently. But it just seemed weird. And I liked it visually. It's cool.
And that's Zack Snyder's MO. visually it was cool is like what he says to himself when he goes to sleep at night.
To me, it's almost a Captain Phasm in Star Wars where an artist drew it. And they're like, oh, that's cool. We got to put it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was put in.
Well, okay. You know, I guess it's bothersome to see Batman using a handgun so, like, fluidly and all that.
It didn't bother me, though, if it was the future.
Right.
We don't
exactly
know what's
going on. That's why I actually like... I come down on the side of liking that scene a lot because it really does... The Flash coming out of it, like, it really says, nope. And then you flash, and as soon as that happens, you're like, no, this isn't just, like, his dreaming what could happen. We were even saying that leading up to it, like, how is he having a premonition? If the Orion symbol's there, then it must be a premonition. And then we all started to suspect, oh, maybe it's Flash, and it played off like that. I thought the scene, the choreography was a little wonky at times, but I loved seeing him get put out by a parademon up close. Yeah. And again, I didn't notice until the second time.
They were
came close. You see a parademon come almost to like the foreground of the screen.
They have the red eyes. And
yes.
The biomechanical.
And then seeing the Flash thing was just so cool. So,
well, what did you think about the dream sequence with him in front of his mom's
I think it's a plot. It's a trope of Bruce Wayne having still is haunted by the memory of his parents. Yeah. What he does.
When it started bleeding, that got creepy, and then I jumped out of my seat.
Oh my gosh, because it took me a second to realize what was going on even in that moment. And I was like, what the fuck?
This is literal comic book imagery in a really well done way. And again, these were a lot of the same kind of scenes that took me out of it the first time. And then I'm like imagining reading this graphic novel. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense in that graphic novel.
That he's still haunted by this 40 years later.
Oh, 591 people watching right now.
I know. This is the most we've ever had.
Is this the most? I know it'd be the most we've ever had.
We did it.
Thanks, guys. Roxy. We love you. We love you.
I love you guys. I'm sorry. So much to talk about.
Are we missing another? Are we missing a point? Or
no.
Another vision? I want to get back around to talking about those other JL members, too, but we still have the plot of the movie.
Well, here we go. The USB drive of the Justice League. We already kind of touched on this briefly. Okay. Overall,
what was your guys' favorite one of Cyborg, Flash, and of Aquaman?
Aquaman.
I mean.
Is it Aquaman?
Aquaman.
What was yours?
He looked pissed off. He looked, because for everyone who's like, oh, Aquaman's historically been a joke, you saw Aquaman in this film, you're like, he ain't joking.
No, I thought Aquaman was cool. Okay, again, this was again the first time I saw this.
Cyborg crazy too, though.
Yeah.
Cyborg to me did not work because it looked like actor Joe Morton was on a set on a green screen and everything created around him was green screen.
I agree with that, but I just was fascinated. I was like leaning forward, what is going on here? And even Flash, seeing him again, I thought maybe they would skip it because we already saw him.
Right. Guys, friend of the show, King Famous, is texting me now. He really wants to talk about Cyborg on the tack board.
Okay.
Is that so I'm assuming like when you see him just back there on the thing like screaming right and they're trying all these things to revive him and Silas Stone is trying to figure it out and then I didn't even notice it until the second time there's a black box that comes alive,
a mother box,
and then it shoots into him, he screams like a mother and he's come alive. So now my question is, just to talk about this, when does that happen? Does that happen when the Kryptonian first like put the his
we
piece in the
know.
Thing?
Oh,
we don't know.
I have no
so
idea
is it the
when.
Same energy that like called the Kryptonians and even in Suicide Squad we hear the thing, it's almost like the Superman was a beacon, he literally was a beacon, he plugs that thing in Man of Steel and it alerts the galaxy.
And now this is interesting, this is a
Zack Snyder,
if it is this, it's a Zack Snyder mother box, because a mother box is what they do is create boom tubes,
right?
And it's time travel.
But doesn't a version of Cyborg have that too? I think like I don't know if it's New 52 or what, fans, we need, I know that there is a version of Cyborg that does create boom tubes.
That they were using...
Travel, we need you right here. We need you on this Cyborg info.
Terraforming humans, turning them into parademons, and it was the technology of Apocalypse. So it's very similar.
A lot of people don't like how that was CGI'd as far
because
as the Cyborg scene.
Because that's the thing.
Scene.
It looked like I'm walking, I go to this point in the green screen, and it just looked flat. If they would have built a lab, had the actor... Because I can guarantee Ray Fisher was not in that scene. Mm. That was his face kind of CGI'd. It might have tracked him and put it on there.
Yeah.
The two actors were not in the same scene. It looked like they brought Joe Morton in for a day.
Yeah, no,
hey,
absolutely.
Joe, point here, talk here, look in this camera, and that's why it didn't work. With Momoa, he was in an underwater tank somewhere filming this scene, and it just looked
That was
awesome.
Almost like a Luke Skywalker and Force Awakens cameo for Aquaman. Like, we knew Aquaman was going to be in it, but he really wasn't in the movie.
Yeah,
he was on file footage.
A guy who loved Aquaman, that's his character. He's like my Batman. And watching him, because I knew it was coming, I looked over at him and he was out of his seat and he was just like, and it was just like,
what
he loved it.
What I loved about that, do you remember early on when we first started getting still photos and there was in the Indian Ocean when the kids were diving down, everyone was like, oh, is that Aquaman with a hood on his head?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was just
kryptonite. Yeah.
Here's another question though for the Aquaman thing. Another question for DC fans out there. I want to know, so if like Lex Luthor has this file on this Aquaman, right, so much that they got a logo, how do they only have a file on him and not not a whole race of Atlanteans.
Because that's the only one they've seen.
Oh, so he's the only one they've seen? So why is that? Is it because he's the only guy that can walk in both worlds?
No, I think that footage was of that ship, and they're like, what the hell is this thing?
Oh. What is it?
It's like a...
They caught it.
Like
so they're safe in their own world, deep in the trench.
Yeah, he's okay. Just... He probably was swimming around, whatever, doing whatever. Maybe there's something in that ship he was trying to find out. Why is this ship... Maybe the Atlanteans destroyed that ship.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know, but now LexCorp, maybe LexCorp sent the sub, and he's searching for Atlantis.
And they caught
him. They caught it, and now he's in there, and they're like... You know, send down a drone, find out why our ship went down, and he's in there.
So water played a big role in this movie. People thought Aquaman would play a bigger role, especially when we had like the whole thing going on with Lois Lane and going through. Did you guys expect to see him again?
I never expected him to show up. It's interesting
that he had a poster and he's got action figures. Cyborg does not. So I expected a little more. I'm glad I didn't because we talk about shoehorning so many characters in and who's going to get up.
The Justice League movie is obviously what we just heard today. Like Zack Snyder described it as Batman's Seven Samurai film.
Traveling the world.
Exactly. So it's just going to be them gathering this crew. They're going to find Aquaman. Right. So yeah, first time I saw the film, I'm like, these are very gratuitous and shoehorned in. Second time, just loving them. Yeah. Just loving them. Peter I'm just Parker like, says, okay, fine. Just give it to me.
The fact that Lex had it, not Bruce.
That is awesome. Lex is, that is awesome. And now Bruce has it, and Lex is just like, you know, he's in jail.
And Bruce is just like, oh, God, I'm obsolete. I can't.
Yeah, how about Bruce stealing from Lex twice? How about, like, we were criminals. We've always been criminals.
That scene, he's walking, and Clark picks it up, and he's just like, what is...
Oh, Clark picks it up! That was great.
Well, so did Diana, though.
Yes, it's like...
Well, did she know? She didn't pick up on the frequency.
No. She started following
him.
She just is smart.
Yeah.
She was looking for the file separately, right? Bruce was cloning the file. Right. She was looking for the original. She went down there and steals both of them.
She wanted the picture that belonged to her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Which is weird, right? That her motivation was like for a picture. Like, was that just a cover of her motivation?
No, that's what her motivation was for.
What, just so people wouldn't see how old she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to keep that quiet.
Of course.
Okay. She has said, I don't want to be a part of this world.
This is something that I can understand critics of the film, you know, bashing that element, which they are. They're just like, oh, well, she just needed
a
picture.
Let's, we've already been going for a full hour, so let's get to the meat of the potatoes here.
Okay.
Doomsday. Leading up to the movie, we were like, well, if they're showing Doomsday in the trailer, that doesn't mean it's the be-all, end-all.
Right.
When it came down to it, it kind of was.
He was the big boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and I'll just say this.
I really wish it wasn't in the trailer.
I wish it wasn't in the trailer.
Because right now, if it wasn't in the trailer, we'd all be saying, oh my God, Doomsday was freaking great.
No,
but because we saw him in the trailer, we're like, oh,
you're okay with it being in the trailer?
Yeah, because you guys know I like that little bit of a spoiler. Right.
They should have showed the first version of him in the trailer, if anything.
Yeah, maybe that.
That would have made, and I love that because that would have made fanboys more pissed off if they only showed Lumpy, no spiky Doomsday.
Yeah, just like him, or maybe him being birthed where you don't know what it is.
Yeah, the condom and him just like kind of.
What did you do? Yeah, you didn't need to see it. Because Doomsday was really more effective in the theater that I saw it in twice than I thought it would be because they gave him the metamorphosis.
He looked awesome.
And you really robbed that whole reveal from the audience. And it would have been such a boom moment. It would have been like a crazy moment because first you would have seen this Lumpy monster like, who is this? And then when he starts ripping his back off, like post the nuclear explosion... and by the way, just sidebar, the Superman post-nuclear explosion in space straight out of The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. Creepy as hell.
Wow. Yeah. That image both times.
I just enjoyed what a big threat Doomsday was in this movie because I kind of thought that it wasn't going to be as scary as it was. And when we finally get to the end where in order to take him down, Superman, which I saw a little bit coming, but Superman has to die in order to do this, I was like, that's a good villain. That's a good villain when you have to take out your hero in order to kill the villain. So I thought they did a good job.
I think I would have liked to have seen one more moment because my audience, when he started spiking, we were all like, oh, yeah. I wanted one more before they really protruded and the brow.
Yeah.
And
although it was cool that his arm was a giant spike
all
that eventually
been with
did
another
the deed.
20,000, 30,000 ILM or whatever. Guys, we need one more scene of him freaking out.
And how disturbing was it when Lex just, he was just pulling the body of Zod. That was so visually
when he put
just,
his own
oh,
blood
he puts
on
it in the
him.
Water?
Yeah. Just
what
disturbing.
Was up with the, that was almost like aping like Superman for the quest for peace when like Lex had to get his DNA involved in
that
the mix
to me
there.
Seems like we need a scene of
what
the
was
Kryptonian
that about?
Ship and him learning. Yeah. We need something. Like, how did he know that the ship is a
breaking
ship?
Yeah, just didn't come full circle enough. I needed something
that's
more.
I think that's the director's spot.
It was almost like he got the evil version of, like, Kal-El talking to Jor-El. Like, right. In, like, Superman, in the original Donner Superman, it's like he was just like, yeah, tell me everything. And they just jacked him up Matrix style with all the dark
secrets.
Because
they do, and going back to Man of Steel, they do talk about how Kryptonians, there is no natural birth anymore.
Mm.
Where it's all, you're created. But the Genesis Chamber and all that, the Matrix, the Codex.
But that resuscitation of life was outlawed.
Right.
That little process, that little
he
base.
He learned that it wasn't. He learned that we had to create. So we just needed that explanation.
And I still, my favorite part of this, though, I enjoyed when he walks in and they're like, would you like to take over the control of this? And he's like, yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah, his read on that
was right. Great. Like, okay, I'm in on this. I don't have to.
I think that will be explained a little more in the director's cut.
Yeah,
I think there's something.
I can't wait for the director's cut. It's going to be a lot of fun. July
16th.
Let's see.
July 16th.
Can we go back and talk about something I know you want to talk about, which is the peach piss?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
Granny's peach tea.
Okay, so I guess...
I love peach tea.
A problem that I had the first time, and then I still kind of do, is like, all right, I know we gave Superman a lot of leeway because it was his first time being Superman and Man of Steel, but this time he's gotten better. There is a great montage of him being heroic. After the first viewing, I'm like, the only person he saved was Lois. No. You go watch it. There's a whole montage of all the things he's doing.
Then the Day of the Dead?
It was huge. The piss thing... I found the explosion of the Capitol was very jarring. It was very hard to watch. It's supposed to be, okay? What I would have liked to have seen is like that last second where Superman figures out what's going on, and maybe he saves some of those people. Maybe he throws himself over the bomb, and like there's just people coming out in stretchers and stuff. But it just happens, and he's just standing there like that.
But
and
he addressed
really
that. He goes,
me.
"I didn't do it. I should have seen it. I was blinded."
I know he does,
to it.
But I'm still mad at him. Just because he's saying I'm sorry doesn't mean like I'm still like pissed at him. I want him to be better
Pun
at being
intended.
Superman than that. Mm. I guess I'm judging him as being good at Superman. I'm like he let one go there that, like, he would have heard it. There was all that time we're waiting, and she sees the piss, and, like, he picks up something on a heartbeat or something.
There was a lot of time that went by.
Right, so I'm like, in all that time, I'm like, Superman, like, do something.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and that upset me. And again, less the second viewing, because I had seen it, I dealt with it, and I get it makes this the most evil Lex we've ever seen, because he kills all these people in cold blood. He kills Mercy. But you still could have had Superman save some of those people, and it still gets the point across.
Even with the senator, I was a little upset. I felt like there was so much time that went by where she clearly knew something was up, and it's just like, I don't know,
But I did not think the bomb was
going
to go off.
Oh, my God.
No clue.
I can't
even
believe
though it was leaked before that we heard Scoot McNary was going to possibly be the weapon that called people. Like,
I thought, like I told you guys, I thought he was going to be like Mentallo or something.
Can you guys believe that one of the major plot points of this was a jar of piss? Like, that's what it was. When it comes
Agree with that. I don't agree with that. It was just the symbology.
It wasn't
a
tea bag was in it.
Symbol.
No, I think it was his piss.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't his piss.
Either way. The fact that he's like, I got into your Senate hearing, I put a jar of fucking piss. The lady, I could do whatever I want.
Yeah, either way. I felt like she was made up to be this very smart character. I feel like Superman's supposed to be our hero, and I feel like both of them just completely dropped the ball here.
Or Lex is smarter than them.
And I don't think that's what we want to be thinking. Lex is smarter than Superman,
yes,
but I don't think that what we want to be thinking is that they
Superman
can't...
Because Superman is stronger, Lex is smarter.
For all the Lex detractors who said, he wasn't scary, that was devious what he did. Horribly devious. Yeah. So
Lex is supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. He's supposed to be the villain who's the smartest guy in the room. But I don't... I think that him murdering a lot of people is enough. Superman is that stupid. I think that it was too big of a gap. And same thing with the senator. Not even Superman, because he's our hero.
That's what I'm saying.
But they're not blaming Lex. No one's blaming Lex. They're blaming Superman. Right. You brought this. You're in this.
I'm talking about as an audience member. I'm not talking about as if I was in the civilization.
I'm looking at everyone outside going, this explosion would have happened if he was not here.
Right.
And he made the choice to go there and stand up and was like, okay, I will be accountable. I will answer to you. And she's like, this is how it works. A democracy. We talk.
Yeah. Right.
He's coming forward. And like his dad said, don't come out. Don't you dare come out.
I like that.
Hate
I just
you.
Would have liked a little Superman reaction there. It really would have made the whole pill go down a lot easier. Do you disagree? Do you think
quicker.
That, I mean...
It didn't bother me.
It just
but I mean, look, what do you think? In that scene, if he does something, if he saves some people, if you see him take the explosion, you see, I mean, like, that it could have been a great effect. Like, instead, it was just a super giant, and it was a jump scare.
At the same time, everyone dying allowed everyone to turn on him that much more, though.
Yes. Right, but they knew it was a suicide bomber. I get it. But they could still turn on him. And I just want to see, as the audience member, and I just want to see him smothering that freaking bomb.
Can we all
And not just like everything goes out. He's like, oopsie. Yeah.
Can we all just admit how snowblown everyone was? I killed your family. No Joker.
Oh, yeah,
no anyone.
Lex, yeah.
They pulled secrets. Everyone's like, that's the Joker. That's this. This is.
Yeah.
No, it was Lex. There's another thing
that
happened.
That was one of the few plot points we didn't know. Most of this movie was pretty much laid out.
I did not know that Senate explosion happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Superman dies.
That I didn't know.
At some point in the movie, did you not feel like we were getting to that point?
No.
Only when they telegraphed it.
At the end.
At the end, when they have that moment, and that is another thing that bothered me, not to jump around, but when they have that moment when she goes no, and he goes to get the spirit fire, it's just a broadcasty, it's just a little bit like I know you're going to die thing. I wanted the surprise.
Right.
But look, it still got me, and I liked him the pulling it onto each other. Honestly, the whole Doomsday fight is one of the best fights with a giant supernatural special effecty monster that I've seen, because Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman were all doing their thing in spectacular fashion. But the one thing I would have thought is, like, why couldn't Superman, like, pass that kryptonite lance to Wonder Woman, who was more than capable of getting close enough?
I was thinking that, too.
Like, she won't be affected by the kryptonite. She can get in there.
It's obvious why he doesn't give it to Lois, but it's freaking Wonder Woman. Why don't you just throw it over to her?
Not always the brightest of soups. He's like, oh, I was just going to cook dinner.
And we already talked. I know Roxy did not like the Martha connection. What do you guys think of it?
Oh, we're getting, like, we're
big
really
moment.
Diving
where
into
are we
the
going?
Martha thing.
Okay, so they're fighting. Okay, what about the fight themselves? What fight? Batman v Superman. We didn't talk about that fight.
There's two different fights. We haven't really dived into either of them that much. The first one being the Batman v Superman one, which is the title of this whole thing, which lasted about 5 minutes. How did you guys feel about that fight?
I had no problem with the length of the time they were fighting with each other. It was a long, epic fight.
Yeah,
and Batman v Superman is not about them physically fighting. It's about them being opposed. That's what the whole film's about. So a critique of the fight being short is very silly. It's very satisfying.
I don't think it's silly.
You wanted that fight to just go on longer? Like, that was one of my biggest problems with Man of Steel.
It wasn't necessarily just the time. It just felt so simple to me at moments. Like, every single time he just takes out the kryptonite and then it's like he's beating his face in. I wanted this to be more of an even match. It wasn't. And I thought that Batman, like I said, crushed Superman. He annihilated him.
I love the part when Superman...
Which was unexpected, so I kind of dug that.
When Superman, when the kryptonite gas wears off and he starts taking the fist punches.
Yeah.
Like, I love that part. It was a big gladiator slam. It was shot so huge. You've got to see this in IMAX, guys. You've got to see this fight in IMAX because it looks so huge.
The end of the movie. So it didn't have to be the epic film.
The problem isn't with the actual fight. It's that with what happens afterwards that makes it look so stupid.
So this is the part that a lot of people have a problem with, where he's like, they're going to kill Martha.
Because there was no holding back at all in this fight. Like, Superman at first was holding back. Batman, you could tell he was all in. He felt no remorse about any of that, which made the switch so weird
here
for me.
I am.
Well, listen, Superman, by the way, Superman was never trying to kill Batman in this fight. He was always trying to get out to.
Right.
Oh, unless he possibly had to save him, but he wasn't going to do that.
Lois is like, not all men are good.
Or he has to die. Yeah. No one can stay good in this world anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's going back.
I will do whatever I can, but if it comes down to it, I will kill him.
Fair enough.
So he was not at that point yet. Okay, are we going to talk about the Martha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yeah. So he's down on the ground and he says, they're going to kill Martha. And then.
No, he said, they're going to kill Martha.
They had a guy's boot crushing his skull.
Sure. That's fine.
His neck. He's choking.
And he's already weakened by the kryptonite.
Yes.
It's
very much a broadcasted plot point that he drops his mother's name just so. And like, you know, then Superman, Batman is like, oh, why did you say Martha? Like.
Because, all right.
Look, that's the question. Obviously, the name is a trigger. It's one of Batman's triggers. Okay, guys?
Yeah.
The name Martha's a trigger. It's always going to mess him up.
He could have said, he's going to kill my mom. He's going to kill my mom.
Right.
But either or, it's the same thing. It's a plot point. It's a structure. It humanized this alien to Batman. What? You have a mother? He doesn't know he's got a family.
Well, to be fair, Batman started talking about Father's first. He's like, I bet your parents started teaching you about this. This is what my parents taught me, dying in an alley. Mm-hmm. So it was your typical brooding, but it was funny that Batman brings up parents first.
But the fact that it humanized him, who this man, he's always called an alien, here is a man at his feet that he's going to end his life. And it struck me. It's so Bruce is like, I'm going to make this man an orphan. I'm going to kill this woman's got a son, and I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I can't do that. That's not me. That's not who I am.
Oh, God. That is the...
See, and Roxy, it's different because...
It's the dumbest thing
I've
ever
heard.
That.
I'm looking at that as a lifelong fan of Batman. It spoke to me. It was just... Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic moment of him going, I can't kill you. You're not my enemy. And it's the same... It's a moment where he's just like... And when he goes, he's like, she will not die tonight. Like that
line. And
then
he's like, I'm a friend of your son's.
And I loved it. That friend, I'm a friend of your sons. And people like, it didn't earn it. It's like,
yeah.
Here's a man dressed in a bat suit that just went through an entire room full of people. This woman is terrified. Hey, that. I'm a friend of your son.
I love that. And I thought that was funny. And a lot of the humor worked more than it did for me.
And her son's not alone anymore.
And you know what? That was the part that the first time I saw it, the Martha thing, I was like rolling my eyes like crazy.
Yep.
Again, ready for it the second time. Didn't bother me as much. And then when it's off to the races... Another part I liked is at the beginning of the fight when he calls him Bruce. I love that there was no pretense about anything. Like, he tries to talk to him as a person, like, straight from the gate, and then Batman doesn't hear him. The first time I'm watching it, I'm like, all right, listen, Batman isn't that dumb that he's just blind to this guy trying to reason to him. I think that was a little convenient that Batman was going to be like, no matter what you say, I'm attacking. But it led us into the fight that was the main plot of the film. After that... I thought it was great. And then that leads us to one of the greatest scenes in the film when Batman does rescue Martha.
Uh-oh. You don't agree? You don't like
the line? We're torn on this because
you don't like the
line
of
Martha. I thought,
I'm friends with your son. I figured that. You hate that.
The whole thing. I'm telling you, like, because all you can do when you're watching things is personalize them.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely
so
right.
So when I'm watching this... If I'm thinking about this through my own eyes and I hate somebody and I'm kicking the shit out of them and I'm beating them to kill them and they look at me, my mom's name was Lori, and they say, Lori, that's gonna, if it affects me, I'll think maybe they're talking about my mom. Did they know my mom? If it's about their fucking mom, I don't care.
But he didn't know it was his mom.
And that's why Bruce was, why did you say that name?
That's the part I liked. I like that he is affected by it.
He's like, are you manipulating me? Why are you doing that?
I like that he's affected by it. I hate that when he finds out it's about the other guy's mom, he cares. Why the fuck do you care about that?
He's a human.
Because he's
human.
I thought it was so
stupid. He's a guy.
Stupid.
He's like... Oh my God! It was the moment of what it is, the moment we've all been in where we get so heated up and it's like you stop for a second. Whenever people we argue, you're like, take a minute, take a breather. That was his like, oh my God, what have I become? What am I doing here? My entire life has led to this point. This is my legacy, and this is what's going to be. No,
it didn't see it on his face. Didn't hear it in the lines.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely did.
Zero bit affected. Could not believe that it all came down to him saying Martha about his own mother, and that changed his mind. Really, Batman, you are that fucking self-centered that you never once thought he has a family. You went in
Bruce
for the
Wayne
kill, and you didn't hear.
Bruce Wayne is incredibly self-centered.
You went
that
in for
is
the
a
kill.
Character.
No, this is not Batman. This is not Batman. You think Batman is the kind
this
of person?
This also isn't like. Listen, he hasn't humanized Superman up to this point. Like,
no.
The reason he's able to assassinate this thing is it's an alien. It's a threat to the planet, and he doesn't think of him as a human being at all. Even though Alfred's been putting it in his ear the
this
whole
man
time,
is not
you know,
enemy.
He's not our enemy. So, and then it's at that moment after fighting him. It comes clear. Lois Lane shows up. There's a moment in the break in the adrenaline, and he's able to see it. I totally get the eye rolling of the moment, but I appreciate what's supposed to be happening there. It really is where Batman's character makes the big leap in the film.
It was
like
such
where
a light switch moment that didn't work for me at all, and it was
that's
such
fair.
A major part of the film.
I think that's totally valid to feel that way.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I actually have to hit the road soon. What else do we have?
Okay, so what other major plot points are we going to talk about? So we talked about all the Justice League members. We talked about... Now, what about actually the... Okay, so the explosion in space. I just want to say that moment. I said it before. When Superman's dead in space, we get to see the sun resuscitate
right.
him.
Yeah.
How'd you guys like
Dark
that moment?
Dark Knight Returns. It's great. It's great.
That gave me feels.
A lot of people,
visually, I thought it was really
a lot
cool
of
too.
People had problems with the fact that they launched that nuclear weapon so fast. I'm like, guys, they dealt with Man of Steel, what this guy's capable of.
They're
not
ready.
Taking any chances.
They were hot
they're
on the button.
They're ready to go at any moment. They're not like, should we wait? Should we? No. Yep. Doing this again? Kill him.
Yep.
That's fine.
It's the right call. It's absolutely the right call. And look, about that fight again, Doomsday still got applause. At the theater that I saw last night. And then when he evolved, he got more applause. I really wish they would have held on to that evolution. Because
it was the Wonder Woman, and then the scene with Bruce just looking back and forth at them, and it was that panning shot of them fighting. He's just like, I'm out, I can't do this anymore. I'm obsolete.
Yeah. Although he did manage to find one more kryptonite grenade and throw it in there, and that meant it a little bit.
Of course. It's Batman. I love that the three of them were doing stuff on all. They teamed up.
Clark falls in. What did you think about the death of Superman? The final climactic.
It had to happen.
I mean, yeah. I love the fact that they went there. It really makes me excited to see Justice League.
It just made the stakes even higher for this. And I honestly saw it coming, but I thought that it was great. And I don't think that most people expected it. So yeah. I think that they did a really good job.
I know a lot of people always want to see a happy ending. I don't need to see that. I want to be excited for the next round. And that's what this movie did.
More so the second time than the first time for me.
Yep.
But what do you think? Where do you think they go with Superman from here? Like, so does he only appear at the end of the first Justice League film? Is he going to be in some version of the four different characters, the different inclinations? Is he going to be evil? Is that vision that Batman sees by the Flash, is that like an evil, dark Superman that emerges?
And this could be nothing, and it could be something. If you see Cavill and all his press, he's got a buzz cut.
Interesting.
So, and they're filming in 2 weeks. Is this going to be?
We don't know if he's filming in 2 weeks.
Okay, but that hair, could he be a wig? But, you know, what happened? If they're filming, they're like,
they could be going to the long, I hope they go to the long hair post.
Yeah, are we going to get that?
That's what everybody was talking about.
Are we going to get that? You know, are they just going to wig him?
And then how is he going to be different? It's really, I got to say, did this movie do a good job of raising questions and getting me excited?
Definitely.
Even after the first time, yes, but even after the second time more, hearing Zack Snyder talk about the Seven Samurai take, hearing, you know, Chris Terrio being on board from day one, talking about, like, the bride of the kind of film, it sounds like Superman's going to get a little bit of a break for part of the film.
Well, and don't forget, though, didn't it seem like the dirt on his coffin started moving?
It let us all know that something's going on there. And that was great. It wasn't like, oh, is Superman dead forever? No, nobody thinks that.
But every single person that walked out of the theater I was in thought that Superman was dead forever.
Well, that's great.
This is a movie made for the fans. But thank God.
But those people that will become...
I'm not saying I did. I'm saying every person there...
People will get to come back. People have been asking me, who's this guy in the future? Who's that? It's creating conversations.
Yeah.
And then as these movies come out, they're going to start explaining more. Yes. This was the choice they made.
I think it's great that people walked out thinking, wow, Superman is dead. Now they're going, they're Googling, does this happen before? Right. Like, that's... freaking perfect.
Let me ask you this. Here's an interesting question. Does it take the wind out of the sails from Civil War at all? I was interesting. Right?
Because they beat them to the punch of killing their main character.
Right.
Spoiler, if you don't know, someone's dying in that movie.
Okay, so it'd be weird if Captain America dies, it'd be like, oh, we already saw that.
I will say this. They've set so much up with that. Men will cry in that movie when he dies.
I think so.
Captain America?
I will cry.
I think that people will care more about that right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Listen, there's no... But to the general public, they beat it first. And you know how the public goes like, well, so-and-so did it first.
Yeah.
Marvel's got a cinematic universe first. DC's copying. Oh, DC killed their main character first. Marvel's copying. That will happen.
And just to say again, I just want to say, like, obviously Daredevil 2 came out this week, just to give a shout-out. Another ideological superhero versus superhero. That series... freaking crushed.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic.
And I cried a couple times during that show, but that's what you get when you get that much time to really dig in.
Okay.
This operatic. What about Lex's use of the term gods? The Christian metaphors.
All right, what did you guys think? This is what I want to ask you guys, fans, listeners. When he said they've heard the bells, what was he... Is it the villains, like the Suicide Squad? Because people say, and I heard this, they go, no, Suicide Squad takes place after this, and that's what Lex is referring to. Like, people know that gods can be killed, so now
does Suicide Squad take place after BVS?
I thought it was before.
The rumors were that it takes place before BVS. Yes. Okay.
So, but people are saying, nah, it's after, because Lex is, they've seen that a god can die. Everyone's going to come out now. It's like, oh, these people that have been, this Superman has been over us. People have been scared to do stuff. Now that he can be killed... it's free. It's the candy store's open.
That's
going.
Exactly how I took it. What is the other?
Or I took it as, God, I cannot think of what movie it is where we realize that we're not alone in the universe. Like, this is a call to all the other areas, like the apocalypse Earth's open for the taking now. Okay, we're coming.
I think it would be interesting if the climax of Suicide Squad happens concurrently with BVS.
That's
going to
be and we're going to know soon.
You know, like their mission is somewhere else while one of these huge world events are going on that it takes place on another level. Like, so, I mean, it did a great job setting up all this stuff.
The chat's saying Darkseid, the new gods.
You would think. I mean, especially with the Orion symbol, that kind of thing.
It opens up that world.
What about Lex being all wacky and snotty, screaming for Doc.
I love that part. I love it.
Batman showing up there is like, oh.
Come on. That scene.
There were a couple of things that reminded me of The Dark Knight. Like, that reminded me of The Dark Knight with
the lights
showing
off,
up.
Lights on.
And also the falling down, even the the imagery of like that. I was like, all right, but you know, it's just, it's in the common vernacular. It's just like, at this point.
I love Bruce and Diane at the end.
I love that.
And I hope that Justice League is the two of them together traveling. I want to see them in a Wayne Corp jet.
Yes,
Bruce and
that's
Diana.
How we're setting it up right now.
I want to see them in an invisible jet. I just want to see them sitting Indian style, just playing cards in the middle of the sky, traveling. No.
Invisible jet.
I
want the sexual tension there, but I want
to. That's
what
I was going to ask you. You know, I get really girly with this kind of stuff, but what do you think about the sexual tension there between Bruce and Diana?
I think there's going to be some sensuality between Bruce and Diana.
Okay, what sensuality?
And you know,
JL1?
But JL1, absolutely.
Look at right there, the picture. Just the sensuality. He's intrigued by this.
Amy Adams almost being topless in that bathtub? Did that seem jarring?
Maybe that's a sensuality they talked about.
It was kind of sensuality.
I was more concerned by him going in the pool, in the tub with all his clothes on.
Yeah, because you made that water filthy now.
One of my favorite scenes in the comics, it's Batman is in Themyscira with Wonder Woman. He's in the library. It's one of the times he's allowed on the island. And he's reading over this book on war. And he's like, I want to borrow this. It's just like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We could get like stuff like that.
Also, let's throw out there, there was a great picture of, speaking of Amazonians, that was just released.
Yes.
So this
look at them.
It's clearly a posing shot. We got Hippolyta, we got Robin Wright, we got so Hippolyta is probably with the sword.
Hippolyta's with the cape and the sword to her
Connie Nielsen. Connie Nielsen.
And then they said, a lot of people were saying, like, well, this is not diverse. Amazonians are supposed to be diverse. And the director right away tweeted, guys, this is her family. Yeah. That's her mother and her aunts.
We'll see all That's shades of Amazonians. Family. Calm down. But what do you think of the design, the look? How do you feel?
I'm never down to the look of it. I think it's so cool.
You like the look of it.
Oh, my God. I think it looks so, so cool.
How about Robin Wright?
Yeah.
Robin Wright, just watch House of Cards. Yeah. She's a phenomenal actress. But what a badass she looks right there.
It looks like rich.
Amazonians have the finest thighs in all of the galaxy. I mean, I think that Amazonian women, like what we saw from Wonder Woman in BVS and this picture, I'm not...
If you had problems with this movie, if you didn't like it, Wonder Woman... It's 100 years before.
Yeah.
It's Suicide Squad. It's different.
Way different.
They're in a good place. If people don't like this film, and I think that's why maybe where they're going still, they're not changing.
Suicide Squad is going to be a lot more of an audience pleaser from the jump.
Let's talk about this for the future. This is going to be tough because people are conditioned by Marvel to expect that every movie builds.
Right.
We're building a Justice League, but now we've got these offshoots. We've got prequel Wonder Woman. Who knows when Aquaman is going to happen and what time setting. Suicide Squad, the four of us, we've been following this for a year and a half. We don't know, and it's coming out in 3 months, where it is time-wise.
It's kind of great. Did you guys get a Suicide Squad trailer before your show?
No, we did not.
Nope.
I did.
Really?
I don't get... We got Ninja Turtles and...
I got
that's
Turtles.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I got Ninja Turtles also.
I got like 19. I went to AMC. I don't know about you.
I went to AMC too. Before the IMAX, I got the Suicide Squad.
What's the one with Sansa?
Sansa?
Yeah, from Game of Thrones. Oh, yeah. X-Men.
X-Men Apocalypse.
So, I think WB's marketing, they're not going to change Snyder. They're going ahead with just, they need to do marketing to course correct people that are not happy knowing that, okay, Justice League is a continuation of this, but with Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad, different ball of wax.
Yes. Yeah.
Still same universe, which is smart for them.
Yeah.
Because if it was all linear, then they could be like, oh, we are really in trouble. They could throw out a Batman Alfred solo movie and they could put it 10 years before
another thing. So, like, DC All Access caught Ben Affleck basically commenting on Geoff Johns. Oh, yeah, Geoff Johns. He's kind of like the comic book man for everything. And every time I bring something up to him, I think he's just bullshitting me because he says he wrote everything. Oh, yeah, I'm working on something for DC with him. Oh, what? What the... Who?
Yep.
Yeah, so... And it's almost like, yeah, these are our little damage control-y kind of things. So I'm saying, it's like, yes, now's the time to drop that bean, right? I mean, like, just let it get out there now. But holy shit, that's happening. The guy that knows the DC Universe as good as anyone who's written some of the greatest modern stories is teaming up.
You said, you know, Marvel's got Feige, and that guy knows story as well as filmmaking.
That's why he's a unique talent. You can't replace him with anyone.
And you can't go, we need this in the DC Universe. But DC, if we do Snyder, who's visual, and you've got Geoff Johns, who's a writer...
Yeah, you need to bring
that. It seems like you need to bring. Or you mean Affleck? Or you said Snyder? Or
Snyder, as far as just the. But now you got Affleck coming in there for his film because there's talk and he's open. It's like, I want to direct. I'll direct.
It is a unique thing in that Kevin Feige knows the material so well. He was a producer in Marvel for years before there was a Marvel Studios.
He started the old Fox films.
He worked with Avi Arad. He worked on the Fox films. On the
Sony films. He was biding his time.
He's always been doing it. And that's where he comes from. Guess what, guys? Like, there are not a lot. That is not a dime a dozen job.
No.
He's a genius at what he does.
Because on the other hand, you got Avi Arad, who just wants to sell toys.
Yeah.
And you've got,
ridiculous.
You know, that
I think
movie
DC
out.
Made a huge choice sticking to their guns. One thing you cannot say about this film is that it does not ape the tone of the Marvel movies or the Fox films.
And we knew that.
They really chooses to see these characters as gods, as making it a modern mythology, as they say many times in the plot.
And as a person that's followed Marvel and DC for years, we've always, both companies say this. Marvel, that's us. That's us individuals living our daily lives, becoming super. The Justice League, these are the gods. They're our modern mythology storytelling.
Yeah, so Lex even drops that beat.
Yeah, it's two filmmaking different ways. And you can like both, you can not like both.
Yeah.
It's you know.
Well, overall, to close out, takeaway message. Adam, go.
Okay, overall, like I said, is it a perfect film? No. Did I think I was going to come in here? And I really thought I was going to be the negative Nancy today, guys. I even thought today might have been the last episode of DC Movie News I ever did. I was prepared for that because, I don't want someone to sit here that's going to be a hater, but I also never want to come in here and feel like I have to say something that isn't what I feel and have to feel like I have to defend my opinion, you know, or my right to have my opinion. You know, I'll defend my opinion. I watched it the second time, and I really, really flip-flopped on the movie as a whole. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to see it again probably this weekend. Yeah. Maybe that'll tell
Sunday
me how
after
it felt. But overall, super excited about the future of the DC Universe. I think it's great that we opened with a controversial bomb. It's not a popcorn crowd pleaser for everyone. I think it's going to still make around $170 million this weekend.
It's predicting still $350 worldwide. That's phenomenal numbers.
I'm holding on to that $170 number. Last night it made $27 million, last night being Thursday, which was three times what Man of Steel did on the Thursday. Of course, you know, we're further down the line, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be good. The crowd that I saw was really liked it afterwards.
Yeah.
The crowd I saw Monday was more mixed. So it's going to be more divisive. I give it an 8 out of 10. Kryptonite rings that eventually will rot your cancerous hand off.
Okay.
Roxy.
Okay. So I think that this movie was very, very good, that I enjoyed watching it. There were a couple of flaws that really bothered me, but overall, I enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to go see it again. I wonder how my feelings change about certain things. I'm open to that, and I love having this conversation with you guys. I respect anybody who says that they didn't enjoy this movie, and I get it. And I respect anybody who says they love this movie, and I get that as well. In general, I thought the performances were really strong. I thought it was very pretty. I thought it was polarizing. I thought that it was entertaining. I thought it was action-packed, and I'm going to give it a 7.5.
There we go, Mikey.
All right, I will say, also what Roxy said, and talk to you guys online, what we're talking about, and me, it's my opinion.
Yeah.
Critics got their opinion. Make your own. Go see this movie. I loved it. My first time saw it, I give it an 8 Fernie Bankas. Now, the second time I saw it, 8.5 Batarangs.
Mm-hmm. All right.
8.5 Batarangs.
But now we're on two different scales.
That was for the first one. Yeah. I'm going back. So my Batarangs are now there.
Eventually,
I'll let the fans decide. Okay. I gave them two options. A Fernie Banca.
They're saying Jolly Ranchers right now.
What are the first one? A Fernie Banca?
A Fernie Banca, my drink that I have there.
A Fernie Banca. Fernet Blanca?
I don't even know how to say it, but that's what it is.
Okay.
But I love
Fernie
the film.
Banker.
I love Affleck. My surprise, and thank God, was Wonder Woman. She killed it. I cannot wait to see more of her. I can't wait for a solo film. And I spoke against you guys, and you guys, we don't see eye to eye. The Martha stuff, I loved it. It spoke to me. I loved all that. I will say this, guys.
A bit on the nose, sir.
IMDb has a guy listing the CIA agent at the beginning of the film with Martha or with Lois in
Jimmy Olsen.
That is not Jimmy Olsen. It's the CIA agent.
People in chat are saying that Snyder confirmed it was Jimmy Olsen.
It's not Jimmy
Olsen. I don't think it is either.
No. In Africa?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a CIA guy. I thought
IMDb has got him. And also, we'll say this. Can we please stop feeding rumors like this Dan Amboyer with I'm Green Lantern? Yeah. Was he in the movie? No. Yeah. Guys, I work at Universal. I can go onto the back lot, find a trailer, put my name and put H. Jordan, take a picture like this, hashtag Green Lantern, this and that.
And we would do it.
It would go everywhere. It would go viral. don't listen to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Could it be in a directed deleted scene as a pilot in one of those pilot planes as H. Jordan? Sure.
And to piggy,
but it's actors that are just kind of feeding the social media and just taking off on it. It's just like,
well, to piggyback on what you're saying is, yeah, make a decision for yourself. A lot of people in chat world today are saying, well, so-and-so says this about the movie, so-and-so says this. Yeah. Who gives a shit? They're just people that have opinions just like you. Don't feed into the negativity. Just go see it for yourself. If you don't like it, then great. But if you do love it, don't be afraid to say it. Bottom line is, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10 Marthas. And I'm very excited for Justice League.
Yeah.
And we're very excited to keep this show going. This is the most live viewers we've ever had in the show.
Oh, yeah.
So we encourage you, go out and see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it a second time so I could have, like, my, you know, my senses out there to see even more things and really understand it and not see it at midnight when I'm actually a human being.
What was your rostering again?
7.5.
All right.
Yeah.
So did I get the highest, 8.5?
You gave it a little bit higher than me. I gave it an 8. Kryptonite ranks. So we have 5 months now until the next one, which is unbelievable. Yeah, I agree. What you guys are saying is Snyder confirms that it was Jimmy?
Really?
I don't know.
Really? Interesting.
Entertainment Weekly said, Zach, our engineer, is saying that Entertainment Weekly says that Snyder confirms it was Jimmy Olsen.
Well, there you interesting. Go. So in the guy that said...
I apologize then.
So Jimmy Olsen is dead?
I guess so. Yeah, he shot him.
Wow.
So then why didn't Superman save Jimmy then? Like...
Superman is not Jimmy Olsen's pal in that in this version.
Come on, that is a that's me I don't bothersome. Like because yeah. We're gonna get Superman Metropolis. We're gonna get
another time.
It just another lost time. Half of Fernet Branca.
It might have lost a half on that one.
Another time. With that said, Adam Gertler, put yourself over.
Hey, you can find me at Adam Gertler. Check out the new season of Man vs. Child, currently airing Thursday nights on FYI. Watch spectacularly talented young chefs take on much older chefs, and you won't think they can win, but they can, and they do sometimes, and they're super cute. And also watch FX Movie Download with Sasha Pearl Raver and myself. I heard we have our viewing of Avengers coming up soon. We have cool. We just a bunch more movies that are coming out on Friday. Fridays, watch them with us.
Here we go, Roxy.
Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer or over at Screen Junkies doing TV fights. This coming week, actually, we're not on Tuesday. We're on Wednesday at 2. I don't know if they're airing it then or the next day, but make sure you look for their tweets at Screen Junkies and they'll let you guys know.
All right.
Mikey. I'm Mike Kalinowski. You guys can find me on Twitter at that. Also, check me out of the DC Movie News Character Corner. We're doing Rip Hunter today.
Oh, yeah.
Rip. A Tongue Master.
Hunter.
Guys, I'll be heading to WonderCon on Sunday all day, so if you're there, check me out. And thank you to the fans for you guys are speaking up. Screen Junkies, they're looking for movie fights for a person to defend this movie, and you guys shout out tons of stuff to them.
You should be on it, for sure.
Let it be Kalinowski.
You guys were fantastic, too. I woke up to like my Twitter blowing up on that, so you guys are fantastic. I hope you love it. It's my opinion. I'd love to hear your guys make your own opinion.
There you go.
I support your nomination.
Oh, absolutely.
I would love to be in your corner too, if I could.
I'll
just be like your water guy.
I'll put on my Rocky robe.
Yeah,
you know, right behind it.
Well, definitely. DC Movie News will be in your corner.
We are at DC Movies SK, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. I'm at Jake Quasto. Let's see, headlining the Brea Improv Wednesday, April 27th in Southern California in Orange County. If you're around, please come out and see me. Otherwise, I think I'm going to miss next week. I'm going to be in WrestleMania in Dallas all next week.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
I think I'm
going to
miss next week because I fly out on Wednesday, unfortunately. But with that said,
it's about Johnny now. Oh, it's about Johnny.
I was giving him the background with the music.
JLoComedy.com at Jay Quasso. With that said, thank you for joining us for this special episode. We didn't hit a lot of news because we had an entire film to talk about.
We'll get back. Some of it in there.
We filtered a little bit in there. No TV time.
We got the biggest news bits in there. Batman, Jeff Johns.
The picture.
We did.
Seven Samurai.
We'll hold off on TV time till next week, though, guys.
Who's got time for that?
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
I do.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.